Let's just take a moment, then I'll talk to us for a minute, then we're off for the meditation. Okay. Let me just spend a few minutes. We're already in a meditative space. When we come in here, we know we're meditating now, so. Let me just talk a little bit about meditation and our plan for this next few months. Okay, 3 months. When we're doing any kind of inner child work or dealing with the unconscious, you know, even when some of the meditations that we're going to be doing are dealing with our relationship with others in the world, but that's also dealing with our unconscious, right? Because you can view the emotions that arise are emotions that are there already in the unconscious. They're triggered by situations and relationships, and that causes them to come up. You can't say, your conscious mind can't say, well, in this relationship, I think I'll have this emotion. It's not a conscious choice, right? And what that means is that the emotions are something that are produced. They all belong to Bhagavan, actually. They're a production. So they're a production, they're produced either stored, they're produced maybe from the unconscious, we can say, or produced by the situation, but they almost invariably, if they're an emotion that we're concerned about or can't handle or overwhelms the mind, they're almost invariably that situation is triggering some past stored feelings that have been collected there, usually in the first few years of life. And so those emotions come up a little bigger in size. This is what Jung will say, and they're a little bit too much for the situation. And they overwhelm, and really, like, why? Well, it's because you've triggered into something, you know, stored there. And so there's no blame there. There's not like there's the conscious mind that is evoking these emotions, you know. That's not what's happening at all. And so our task, we have to learn, this is when we talk about Shama today in the Tattva Bodha, is how to be with these emotions and feelings in a constructive, helpful way, you know. How to be with them in such a way that they're cared for, that the mind is cared for, as this wonderful instrument we have. And this instrument, you can view your mind as an instrument, you know, which is the vehicle for processing all of these things that come up. But maybe in this era, we don't know how to process them. So the emotions come up, and then they're just projected out on the, you did this to me, and you did that to me, and because of you, I'm doing this, and all of this kind of stuff. We don't know what to do, that's all that is. We just don't know. But we can know, and we're going to know, you know, how to be with these feelings, how not to be afraid of the feelings, how not to need to run away from the feelings or to feel guilty because I have these feelings. It's not your choice to have the feelings. The feelings are a product, you know. So to learn how to welcome them, the buddhi learns how to really welcome them. And then because knows how to be with them, you know, I can welcome all of my hurts and pains and emotions, the buddhi can, if it knows what to do with them, you know. That, in fact, as we'll see later, that is really what Shama is. I know what to do with these emotions in a way that is helpful. Now, we're not used to, until we are used to it, we are not used to the volcanic eruptions that can take place when we really start doing this work, because some of you are at different levels of actually starting to do this. Some have been doing it for a while, some have not, you know. And so once it really starts, it can be tumultuous, and it can, in a sense, can kind of get in your way of shravana. I remember the first one in the 1970s when these eruptions were all happening, and Swamiji was talking, and I was crying. I was hearing something, but really I was just expelling so much pain. Yeah. That is good. That's a good thing. You're missing class, but that's okay. You can listen to the thing. I would never feel that those tears are bad. I feel those tears and those things all come up, but that is actually wonderful. It's wonderful. It's very, very cleansing. It's releasing a lot of toxins from your body. And so because the body now is relaxing at a new level, all of these things, all of these toxins and stress and tension are being released. So if you get to cry, you say, okay, go someplace where you can cry without thinking, oh, I shouldn't be crying so much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be at a place where you feel free to just really cry it out as much as you can. If you're crying and then it wants to stop, are you sure you want to stop crying? Cry a little bit more. Welcome those tears. They're very, very purifying. Very Bhagavan, from Bhagavan. You should get those tears are from Bhagavan to help you release the toxins and what has been held there. It's a great relationship between your unconscious and the physical body. You know? So the physical body has its ways to release these traumas and hurts and pains. So another thing I think is really going to be helpful is to have like meet twice a week, divide up into groups. I was thinking Sharada, Sky, Sunya, Anna, who have been doing this for a long time, and of teaching others also, can lead these groups, can divide up into these groups, and maybe twice, you'll have to decide this for yourselves, but this is just my idea, in terms of dividing and all that, maybe twice a week, maybe from 3 to 4, and then if you go over a little bit, you can, it's okay, because class doesn't start till 5, but I'd do maybe an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes, depending upon the group and what's happening, where you can really talk about these things. It helps so much to have a close group where you can really say what's going on and share, you know, and it helped the Sangha also that we're not afraid of these things, but we consider this as a great blessing, you know. It's a great blessing. It's such a relief. Our psyche becomes much lighter, you know. And so it's painful, you know. I mean, so what? I wouldn't. Well, honestly, I wouldn't be afraid of pain. I would welcome it. I said once, you know, this great psychologist who I'm a great fan of, this Donald Winnicott, he said, you know, you are letting loose things that you have already experienced when you were young, and you're still alive. So don't worry. You're older. You can handle it. You know. You can handle your fear also. You can also welcome your fear. You know? If it feels really too much for you, then you should come and see me. You know? If you feel like you're going to decompensate, just fall apart or something, then come and see me and we'll talk about that. You know, and I want you to come and see me. But. And so I'm asking Sun and Sky and Sharada and Anna to get together with all of you, divide. I have some scheme for dividing up. I think right now we'll try twice a week and see how that works over time, so that we have that happening as part of our course. And then maybe once every couple of weeks. Again, that's up to you. I'm just suggesting that, like we had at Mangalam this last time, you share in circles instead of the satsang, or right before the satsang, we have sharing circles. Which is a little different, you know. That way, we're not holding things in, we're really talking about what's happening, and as we do that, we get things become more safe and you feel have a more protective container to go through all of this stuff. Okay. So I'm going to let them take care of all of this. So I don't have to bother with it now. Not that I don't want to bother with it, but I want to know that it's that they're in charge and they can do this. Okay. Yeah. The other thing, it's like when I started out the teaching the meditations, we did something like there two or three classes on imaginal work, and then I'm going more into being with the self. And then go back and forth for a while and then do the things together. Because we need, I know that how disruptive inner child work can be, how deep it can be, which is wonderful, but it's also nice to know that to have access to the sanctuary of your own being. That's what gives the Vedantin so much strength to do deep work, very, very deep work, because yourself is free. Yourself is not doing that deep work. Yourself has never done any work at all. It is absolutely free at all times, absolutely whole and complete. And there's nothing you can ever do to change that. It's not like, oh, if I do this deep work myself, it's going to have a crack up. It's not true. It's free from time. You're free from time, free from change. And so to have this beautiful, your beautiful self blessing these little ones inside, blessing the buddhi's ability to be with these emotions is such a wonderful, wonderful thing that will, as you discover or recognize your own, that sacred presence, it gives you the freedom to be free. It gives the upadhis the freedom to be free because you are free. And that self is not going to lose that freedom. Not possible. So since we had this 3 months, over these at least few weeks, and maybe a little, I'm going to titrate the deep, deep psychological work we do. Titrate means, you know, I'll be a little careful. To balance that with learning to be with myself or recognizing my own being. So you do all that. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Makes sense to me. So. I'll make it make sense to you. Okay. Okay, so I just want to do talk to you about setting up this program, and you can all work it out among yourselves and the individual groups and all of that and see what works the best for you, but let's just start it and let it mature. Just a little aside, it reminds me when I'm leading these students at CIS, they have to write a dissertation and they have to write a big book. Daunting, you know. And they have to start, in order for us to approve it, they have to start with an outline, what they think they're going to do. Right? That's the outline of everything they're going to be doing. So I always tell them, you just make the outline, and as you go along, it will be very organic, and it will shift and change as you gain more experience. And so think of your groups like that. They will shift and change and mature as they get. It's very organic. So it is organic, let it be organic. Let yourselves grow in that group and the level of sharing and all that. It's a really beautiful process. But if you think, we've made this outline here, this is what we're going to do, period, you know, then that's very stifling. So let it be something more real than that. Same for that. When I just think that's writing these dissertations and what I had to learn also. Also, I learned that I had a topic. Everyone has a dissertation topic. And you think you know what you're going to be writing about, but you actually don't. Because the deeper you get into the subject, the more understanding you have, and that changes what you're writing about. And I think that's just an analogy that kind of fits here a little bit. Okay? Okay. So just invoking the inner friend, that part of you that you know in relationship to others in the world, that friendship is there. that love, compassion. We all have these wonderful, beautiful qualities that are actually natural expressions of your being. They're just not up all the time. And also these beautiful qualities of welcoming, acceptance, giving the benefit of the doubt, recognizing the goodness in others. Like say, for instance, for your little baby. So we have these wonderful examples here. Our little teachers are here. If one is having a big temper tantrum, very upset about something, her beauty is not covered at all. Her goodness. I say her because we have little girls here. Her goodness is not touched. Even when they're being naughty, their beauty, their goodness, their good intentions, they're not touched. We try to help them naturally handle the upset. Whatever is hurting, whatever is bothering, whatever is making them so frustrated or so angry. We try to help them handle that. We are their beautiful, non-judgmental, loving, welcoming, accepting, how can I help, buddhi. In that attitude. Now we want to invoke the inner friend. We want to have that beautiful attitude, that recognition of the little ones inside, the different parts of myself, where there's my goodness is not in question, my beauty. Beloved nature is not in question, for all of these hurts and pains and agitations and worries that come up, are dealt with as situations or problems or hurts that I can help with. So that's the inner friend. Letting your body relax in that beautiful, accepting buddhi, welcoming buddhi, which is really just a natural expression of my own nature. I let the body relax. Feel it relax naturally in that accepting environment. It's more than accepting, it's a very loving, welcoming, respectful environment. Let your body relax. Feel your shoulders and your head. Any place there's tension, just suggest and imagine. That imagination is natural to any suggestion, but just be conscious of it. I suggest that I relax. Imagine my body relaxing. Feel my body. Imagine my body relaxing. Notice my eyes, the eyelids gently resting, very gently resting, very lightly resting on my lower lids. Feel my tongue relax, be suspended in space. Feel it relaxing. Suggesting, imagining it relax, feel it following that imagination. Let that gentle smile take place, your lips. Really imagining that form of the Ishtadevata, if you've seen a Murti. Sometimes you see a lot of statues, even of the Buddha sitting in a cross-legged position. I have one in my garden. That gentle smile, that relaxed body. Or I can visualize Dakshinamurti. I can visualize Ganesha with his trunk, with such a beautiful relaxation, smile, very gently closed eyelids. Just imagine your body becoming, taking on that form. And as it becomes that form, with the buddhi, and just recognize your own presence that becomes more dominant. The mind and body becoming so quiet, or so relaxed, let me say. Your own presence becomes more to the forefront. Just to be yourself. Feel this beautiful form. Feel with your form. Feel this gentle smile. And let the gentle smile be an expression of your being. gentle eyelids, gentle tongue, relaxed body. In this silence, in this beautiful space of your own presence, if there's any churning or emotions arising, or if the little ones are available to you, want your attention. And just let yourself sink down to be with them. And whatever form you take, that form is fortified by the goodness and strength of your own presence. And then those little ones get to be with that, with you, fortified. By this loving presence of your own being. Sometimes you can even see that buddhi that sinks down or goes to be with the little ones, or the emotions inside. It can even take the form of your ishtadevata, or that wise one inside, that one, that guru inside, Bhagavan. And just, if that's available to you, let that take place. in whatever form that it does. Feel free to do that or to just be with yourself. slowly come out of this meditation. It's almost 11:15. We could just spend 15 minutes or more if you want to, but spend some time alone, walking in nature, just being with yourself and the little ones and nature, grounding yourself into your knowledge.